I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World with Bill Raggio and Tom Johnson, senior fellows of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. They and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal. That is a chronicle analysis of these many years of conflict across this vast landscape from the Mediterranean into the Hindu Kush. We're focusing now on Afghanistan. And in the coming weeks and months, Long War Journal is where to go to find out how the story is spilling out. You can predict, but then you can be surprised by history. And Al-Qaeda, the explanation for why the U.S. is in Afghanistan dates back two decades to the transnational threat of Al-Qaeda and its offspring, its spawn, ISIS, in these last years. Tom, before we track how it is that the Taliban have advanced these last 10 years, while the U.S. has watched, Al-Qaeda is watching this collapse of districts. Al-Qaeda is watching this exchange of news. Al-Qaeda is watching President Ghani visit President Biden. Where is Al-Qaeda to watch this, Tom? Are they in Afghanistan? Are they in Pakistan? Are they related to these decisions that the Taliban is making?
Yeah, what I would say is that Al-Qaeda is not just watching this. They're very much an active participant, and you can bet that Al-Qaeda's military strategists are heavily involved in the takeover of Afghanistan. We know from Al-Qaeda's own internal reporting from the newsletter that they release every week that they're fighting all throughout Afghanistan. We know from various other independent pieces of corroborating evidence that they're fighting all throughout Afghanistan. Really, the story of the work that Bill and I have done for so many years has been documenting how Al-Qaeda is intertwined with the Taliban, and the two remain inseparable to this day. In fact, there's so many dual-hatted individuals within the Taliban and Al-Qaeda's ranks that it's often very difficult to figure out who's a Taliban commander versus who's an Al-Qaeda commander because the two are that closely intertwined. And, you know, John, just recently, one of the key figures in all this is a guy named Sirajuddin Haqqani. He's the deputy emir of the Taliban's Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. And why is he significant? Well, when we talk about the Taliban-Al-Qaeda relationship, there's really no doubt in our minds, Bill and I have known for a long time, that Sirajuddin Haqqani, is in fact an Al-Qaeda man. His whole family, his whole pedigree, his whole history is filled with examples of how he is firmly within the Al-Qaeda fold. And what you could see as this now this dire hour has come for the Afghan government and Afghan security forces, it's this man, Sirajuddin Haqqani, who has stepped forward to be the voice of the leaders for the jihadis in Afghanistan. He is the one issuing battle orders. He is the one giving directions and guidance on governance throughout Afghanistan. He is the one who is trumpeting their victories and saying the emirate is going to return. That's a very telling moment in all this. And if we're, as we document the history of all this, this is the moment where people should be able to understand it was Al-Qaeda all along.
We go now to how we got to this moment. We have weeks and months of fog of war ahead of us. There is some clarity about the districts that we're talking about falling to Taliban right now, the provincial capital under siege by Taliban right now. And listening to Bill and Tom in their weekly podcast, Generation Jihad, I learned the history of how we got to Bill's and Tom's map at Long War Journal, a map of the districts of the whole country. Bill, I start with you because you tell me the date that you started organizing this map was 2014 in the second Obama administration. So its credibility is longstanding, though there have been questions raised about the delineation of districts, whether it's government, whether it's Taliban, whether it's somewhere in between. That language has changed over the years. You just gave a statistic saying now, as of this moment, the end of June, Taliban looks to be in control of 156 districts. So let's go back to 2014 when you started this. What resources did you have, Bill? And when you talked to the U.S. military, to the Department of Defense, what attention did they give to building a map of the Taliban advance on districts in Afghanistan?
Yeah, yes, John. So this map has been a bizarre labor of love for 7 years plus now. Yeah, it started in 2014 when I saw a report come out of the Afghan press, and it was saying that Afghan officials, you know, after the surge ended and the U.S. began withdrawing forces and transitioning security back to the Afghan forces. I mean, all along, Tom and I said, look, this is going to be problematic. We suspect that it was the Afghan government and the Afghan military is going to have a lot of problems. Then I saw a report some point in 2014 that the Taliban was in control of 8 districts. And I learned one of those districts, Bagram in Helmand province, never was taken from the Taliban, even from the U.S. invasion. I was like, wow, this is interesting. And I love maps and I'd like to try to, you know, show what's happening. I think maps are the best way to do that. And, so I started and I figured out a way to get this on, get a district map and get it up on Google Maps. And I took care of that. And then over time, I just started to track the press and what the Taliban also was saying, because the Taliban reports have been credible on this issue. And slowly built this map over time. And then at some point, and I don't remember the year, but I was contacted by someone at Resolute Support, a colonel at Resolute Support, who asked me how I was doing it, how I was doing this. And my response to them at first was, you guys aren't doing this. Why aren't you doing this? You're sending people out into districts, special forces, state officials, you know, contractors, NGOs, you know, people are going out there. You should probably have situational awareness. And then at some point in time, about 6 months after that inquiry, the special investigator general for Afghan reconstruction, based on the information gathered by Department of Defense Resolute Support, they started putting out the information. And then at one point in time, I was able to get that information and compare, you know, apples to apples. Previously, they just would release statistics and say this many districts controlled, this one contested. They had different ratings. You know, the whole controlled and contested issue that you mentioned. There's a lot of ways to do this map. I could take this map and just shade everything one color and say out of government control. I could call it, call everything contested. I could create 5 or 7 different levels, which I think is ridiculous. Either something's controlled, contested, or contested. I don't never believe you're half pregnant. So this is how this is developed. And, the interesting thing is the U.S. government or the U.S. Department of Defense, they wanted to start publicizing this map because they felt that it was going to make things show that the Afghan government was regaining control of the country. And one of its big theories was, well, you know, the Taliban only controls rural areas. We control the cities, the provincial capitals, and most of the population is under government control anyway. But what these numbers showed progressively over time, John, was that the Taliban was incrementally taking control of districts a little bit at a time. And that picture got bad, and then they stopped doing it.
Let's get into detail, Bill, when we come back. Sure. And we'll also talk about how the U.S. military thought about what its mission was over these last 7 years. Tom Jostin, Bill Raggio, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, Long War Journal. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.